SermonAudio.com, have you ever looked on there? They have over 1 million sermons available, they say. And only 25 is on this subject. So it should be a rare topic this morning. So we better pray then. Lord, thank you for a nice day. Even though it's been hot, Minnesota's a great state in the summer. And you've given us so many blessings, and we have a nice church here. And we come together as a because we desire to learn more from your word. Pray you'd bless the lesson this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen. I got the idea about this. I mean, it just kind of thought about it when Brother Jeremy said he preached on it once and it didn't go very well at all. I don't know if you remember that. He said that didn't go well at all. He said he had never heard a preach on it, so he thought he'd try it once. It didn't go well at all. So I thought about it, and I figured out his mistake, okay? First of all, he preached it as a sermon, okay? And I'm not going to preach it as a sermon. This is a Sunday school lesson. So, and then he preached it somewhere else besides his home church. So, you know, people probably didn't know him, and so maybe they got a little hostile or whatever, didn't want to listen, you know. But I know if he would have preached it at his home church, everyone would have been, you know, welcoming and forgiving and encouraging, and it would have went well, right? I'm sure that's what's the trouble there. Yeah, so we're going to do that this morning, Chris. So, anybody guess the topic yet? No? Okay. Well, let's go to the first verse and where we're going to start. That is Proverbs chapter 23. Actually, I didn't really want to preach this. I don't have a... The last two times I was up here, I just used something from China that I already had ready. Not that I'm lazy or anything, just there's good messages and thought that's what the Lord wanted me to preach. But I tried to preach something else, find something else this morning, but the Lord wouldn't let me do that. So he had to. So I made this one, you know, especially for you. I haven't preached it in China. Proverbs 23:21 says here, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Okay, so the topic, as now you understand it, to be gluttony. Gluttony. It is a Bible word, okay, so we are going to study it, even though that it's the word is actually only used 4 times in the Bible, okay? So we're going to spend some time and try to figure out exactly what it is. And maybe you have a good idea what it is, but I think there's some things that you probably never thought about. So we're going to try and work on those this morning. I'll say, first of all, that if you're overweight, that does not mean that you're a glutton, okay? They aren't necessarily equal in the Bible, okay? So now maybe that's gotten you a little bit confused, and good, then you won't be waiting for me to... you're not ready to throw a tomato at me or anything, so. Okay. A donut, not tomato, donut. So those aren't equal, okay? So some people, they might be over, but that doesn't mean they're a glutton. It doesn't necessarily mean they eat too much or whatever. For example, my wife Lori, she has a weight problem, but it's not because she eats too much. In fact, she doesn't eat enough. We are working with actually trying to get her to be able to eat more. She doesn't have any appetite at all a lot of times, you know. She probably doesn't get nearly, I don't know, we estimate, if she gets 1,500 or she gets 1,000 calories a day, she did okay. But that's not enough, you know. So, you know, people that are overweight, maybe they have some other issues. Maybe it's not because they eat too much. Maybe it's because they're hypothyroid. That might be contributing. Or like Lori, she has an allergy to a couple of meats. So that makes it hard for her to, you know, maybe choose more stuff that she's interested in. And, you know, when you get older as a woman, for example, those hormoners, they go kind of wacky. You know, there's that problem too, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, so there's all kinds of things that go into that subject. Okay, so just keep that in mind. I'm not getting on anyone from that angle. So, but let's look at the word, okay? You know, we can go to the dictionary and understand it. That's pretty helpful. The word glutton, for example, in Webster's, it states, one given habitually to greedy and voracious eating and drinking, okay? So you can underline greedy. That's kind of a good adjective to understand what's going on. But then it also says one eager of anything to excess. Okay, now that's not just food. It might include some other things, not just food. One eager of anything to excess. For example, there's a sentence example or a phrase example, a gluttonous age. Okay, that's a pretty good descriptive phrase for the U.S., don't you think? A gluttonous age. And not just because, you know, maybe a lot more people are overweight in the U.S. than, say, China, for example. It's not just that. It's constantly they want to consume everything that they can get their hands on. It's a consumer society, just more, more, more. A gluttonous age. There's an adverb for the word. Gluttonously. Maybe you didn't know that. There's also another noun, gluttonousness. Okay. Did you know there's a plural for the word gluttony? Can anybody guess it? Come on, you grammarians. What's the plural for the word gluttony? No, that's a noun. You need a plural for gluttony. The act of gluttony, that's a noun. Give me a plural. Oh, you don't know. See, you're already learning stuff. Gluttonies, okay? So, for example, we could say he committed many gluttonies he committed many gluttonies over the 3-day holiday. That would be a correct sentence. Interesting, huh? Make a note how to use that word. There's synonyms, of course, you know. You know, there's some, you know, some of the typical synonyms you might think of. Pig, overeater, hog. These are boring synonyms. I don't like these synonyms. They're crude. How about this? A gorger. Okay, you probably know what that means. You probably can follow that. A stuffer. Oh, I stuffed myself. Oh, that's a synonym of gluttony. Gormandizer. How about that? Gormandizer. You know what that's from? From the word gourmet. How about that? A swiller. Oh, that's kind of an interesting word, a swiller. Okay. So these are all synonyms. The word itself is only used 4 times in the Bible. So does that mean gluttony was not so common back in Bible times? Is that the case? Well, I got some historical references here from scholarly journals. You should be interested in them because they're scholarly. I'll read a few to you. Roman decadence is vividly portrayed in ancient literary sources. Feasting was a significant part of Roman society, so much so that satires were written mocking the frivolity of such affairs. Augustus, that is, you know, right around the time of Christ, attempted to control public and private gluttony by enforcing severe laws. Wow, that's terrible. Telling people how much they should eat? That's kind of like Michelle Obama was trying to do that, right? But mere laws could not stifle the desire for delicacies and extravagant eating. Hooray for freedom, right? Whatever these people, Romans, might have been in early periods of their commonwealth when a magistrate could dine upon roasted turnips as wealth and power increased, they sunk into the grossest luxury. Very unlike, indeed, was that profligate and luxurious race of men, the Romans, under the emperors, to their temperate and virtuous ancestors. Well, he's losing me there. It was customary for many of the Romans to indulge in eating no less than 5 times a day. The annals of the empire are almost annals of gluttony. Okay, so It seemed like it was pretty common, at least in Roman society. Let's see. Nero, you probably heard of that guy. His Roman biographer tells us that his feasts now lasted from noon till midnight, with an occasional break for diving into a warm bath. Wow, I'm not really sure how that would help, but after I just stuffed myself, his best known delicacy was a draught of priceless pearls dissolved in vinegar. So they would be soft then, and you could chew them, I guess. I don't know. The Roman host had an even wider range of meats and vegetables to serve at his feet than we have today. How about that? Although potatoes were unknown. So, you know, no fries. Couldn't live then. But they had a lot of different kind of meats. Banquets lasted for hour after hour. Our biography reflected sadly on the decline of the Roman Empire, which he was convinced was partly due to the gluttony of the Romans. So there you go. It's apparently, even though the word is only used a couple times through the whole Bible, it was quite common, at least in Roman society. Now, I couldn't find a whole lot about it as far as the Jewish society at that time, but the Romans were pretty enthused about it. They were definitely gourmandizers, okay? Many of them. Let's look at some other verses. So we need to ask ourselves then, well, is it very bad sin in the Bible? Let's see. We're in Proverbs 23. Just jump up to verse 2. Proverbs 23:2. And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, I'm taking out of context a little, I know. You should look at the first verse above, because he's talking about if you sit down with a ruler and you can't control your appetite, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay? So, but it's a pretty descriptive way to remind a guy that you should be careful about your appetite, right? Okay. About Philippians 3:19. I bet some of you know this one. Philippians 3:19. From 18, I'll start reading. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Okay. So here, it's described as a type of idolatry, right? Right there. So, it's kind of bad, isn't it? It's kind of a bad sin in the Bible. These couple verses here also, they were fairly narrow on the word, and it's pretty much confined to food, although, I mean, I don't think you should necessarily confine the word to food, but in these couple verses it is. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that's a synonym of what we're talking about. And drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. Notice that it's combined again with drunkenness, right? We saw the same thing in Proverbs 23:21. And when you find the word glutton, this wasn't the word glutton. It's every time, those four times, it's combined with a like wine bibber or a glutton and a drunkard, all four times. Okay? keep that in mind. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And verse 20. Verse 21. Chapter 21, verse 20. So, this father and mother have a son who will not obey their voice, and he will not respond to chastening. And so in verse 20 it says, "And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Okay? So here the word is combined with a stubbornness and rebelliousness. Okay? So we've looked at several passages now, and we've seen the word combined with several different adjectives, right? So in generally, we can understand it to mean a overindulgence, right? Just more for the sake of more, and usually that is referring to food. And we see that God sees it as bad as the sin of drunkenness, okay? And he's connected it with stubbornness, rebelliousness, idolatry, and as we saw in Proverbs 23:21, wastefulness and laziness. Okay, wow. So that's quite a set of other sins that are matched up alongside of the word gluttony, or the topic of gluttony. So let's talk about some of the spiritual consequences. Okay. First of all, let's put it in a category, okay? I think it's pretty obvious. It fits in Ephesians 2, 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians 2, 3. This is describing what we were before we were saved, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I think it's pretty easy to say that it should be categorized as one of the lusts of the flesh. Okay? Anybody disagree? I think that's probably a good place to put it. Let's jump over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So to live in the lust of the flesh is the exact opposite of what we are supposed to be doing. That's what we used to be before we were saved. And now we're not supposed to do that anymore. We're supposed to live in the will of God. That's what he means in the last part of the verse there. The word is... I didn't talk about any of the opposites. I wanted to mention one here. Brother Dave hit on this Wednesday. Temperance, okay? And so gluttony, or the lust of the flesh, that is the opposite of temperance, right? What's temperance? Well, I'm not going to give you the dictionary definition, but I'm going to read a couple guys here that they know what temperance is anyways. By abstaining from sensual indulgences, we become temperate. That's what Aristotle said. What are you quoting Aristotle for in a Bible lesson? Well, if Aristotle knows what it means, shouldn't we know what it means, right? Thomas Aquinas, the Catholic monk, right? There are things contrary to soundness or a good condition of life, and the temperate man does not use these in any measure, for this would be a sin against temperance. Well, I guess he knows. He's a Catholic, but he knows what this word means, right? So shouldn't those of us that read our Bibles on a regular basis know what the word means? Well, it's the opposite of the lust of the flesh. Okay, that's part of the definition. And I found that the lust of the flesh and this specific one, we will probably find our besetting sin in there. Although some people might have some others that you might not categorize as the lust of the flesh, but I think it's quite common. If you ask yourself, well, what's my besetting sin? You're probably going to pick one of the lusts of the flesh, some type. It's interesting, you know, when Paul mentions the sin which so doth easily beset us, he says the sin that which does so easily beset us, singular, right? So easily, that one sin. You know, I think he's talking about the worst one. I don't think we only have one besetting sin. I think if you have one, you have three. Maybe that's just me. Maybe you only have one. But I think most people, if they have one besetting sin that so easily besets them, they probably have a couple more. And so that's the problem. That's the problem. A besetting sin exists because we habitually, without even trying to endure or even being willing to endure, give into it. And what's the result? Well, in Proverbs 23:21, where we first started, it mentioned the word drowsiness. I'll go back there and should keep my thing in here. How does that go again? Anybody still got it? 23:21. If you got it, go ahead and read it out. Yeah, go ahead, bro. So it's likened to kind of drowsiness, right? A besetting sin, especially the lust of the flesh, and specifically the sin of gluttony, is likened to a kind of drowsiness, or causing drowsiness and a kind of sleepiness. Okay, and here's a couple other verses that really bear that out. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Okay? Make the heart of the people fat, and what's the result when they're in this type of state? Their ears become heavy, and they shut their eyes. They fall asleep. They don't pay attention. Okay, that's one of the spiritual consequences of just letting one besetting sin and another besetting sin just keep going on like that. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. I'll do one more. That's like this. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Just following after the lusts of his flesh, just habitually doing that, and eventually he just didn't care about God anymore. That was the result, a kind of drowsiness and of a unresponsiveness to God. This is what habitually giving in to our besetting sins, the state that it puts us in. Whatever fleshly lusts they are, if you do that on a regular basis, that's going to be your spiritual condition. So remember back in Luke 21 and verse 34, it used the word surfeiting, right? We didn't talk about that. What does surfeiting mean? To surfeit. To feed with meat and drink so as to oppress the stomach and derange the functions of the system. Okay, now that's not a modern dictionary, of course. You probably figured that out. That's the 1828 one. To overfeed and produce sickness or uneasiness. So let's talk about a little bit about the physical consequences. Okay. I think I'm going to have to say something else here first. Oh, I forgot. Let's talk about, I should write this higher. I didn't bring my stool. Okay. We're going to talk about X's and O's. Is that big enough? I can see it good. X's and O's. You know what that means, right? That's what you put on your cards when you send me your family XOXO, right? Right? No? Okay. And there's a line here. Okay. And a slanted line there. Okay. This line here, what's going to go with this is Ecclesiastes 10:17. You read that? Let's get that. Ecclesiastes 10:17. Blessed art thou, O land, when the king is the son of nobles, and the princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Okay. So what's the real purpose of eating as God intends it? Okay, one of them anyways. The main purpose, okay? I'm not saying you can't enjoy eating, absolutely not saying that. For strength, okay? So what this line in here is calorie balance. That means you take in the same amount as you burn up, okay? You need how much calories for your daily activity level for whatever you do, work, think. Thinking takes calories, right? Sleeping takes calories, okay? However you need for all those activities, that's how much you eat, okay? So that's called calorie balance, okay? And so the problem comes in when you like eat more than that on a regular basis, like a couple hundred more on a regular basis, okay, a couple hundred more calories a day. Then what does that end up? You end up O means overweight. Okay. If you keep going and going and going and going and going, we can change the word and use this is a science word, but pretty much everybody knows what it means. Obese. That's spelled right? Yeah. Okay, that just means very overweight. Okay? So, going back to where I was, the physical consequences, that's one of them. That's the obvious one. Okay? What does that equal in practical results? Well, let's see. if you're young, maybe military age, a group of this organization is run by retired admirals and generals. Okay, and they found that 75% of young people in the U.S. are unable to join the military. And the number one reason why is obesity. Okay, in fact, they said 27% of young Americans who tried to join in the year of their survey, 15,000 young potential recruits fail their every year. 15,000 young potential recruits fail their entrance physicals because they are too heavy. Okay, so that's America. So I mean, if you were thought you might want to get into the military, it might be a problem for you. There's a French study recently that discovered that fat cells secrete a protein that accelerates the spread of disease, especially prostate cancer, which is the second most common form of disease affecting men in the U.S., if you didn't know that. Okay, they even have a name for it, a CCL7, and it sends signals to cancer cells encouraging them to spread to nearby organs. Okay, so a fat cell is just not a repository of extra calories. Okay, it's an organ, and it secretes all kinds of different things, including hormones, proteins, and so on. It secretes estrogen. Okay, and if you're a woman and you get a high level of estrogen, then you might be more at risk for certain types of breast cancer. Okay. Or it secretes chemicals called cytokines, which encourage, it's an inflammatory chemical, and it encourages cancer cells to divide, okay? Excess fat can cause levels of insulin and other growth factors to rise, which could lead to, for example, cancer cells dividing more rapidly. Here's something interesting by the RAND Corporation. They say that, and I saw this in several, this conclusion from several places. I just picked this one. Their study reveals that obesity is linked to very high rates of chronic illness. Okay, you probably could figure that out. But they say it's also higher than living in poverty, which, you know, I suppose they wanted to study that too. And underline this, much higher than smoking and drinking. Okay, so if you you understand that smoking is bad for your health and drinking would be bad for your health, a wine bibber is hurting himself, and you knew that being obese is bad for your health, but it's worse than if you were a smoker, okay, or a drinker. It's worse. Okay. Not only does this state cause other states which may cause you to die earlier, like heart attacks or other cardiovascular disease or diabetes or high blood pressure and so on. Dr. Laura Martin, her team was doing a study at the University of Glasgow, and they concluded that, or they had found two new things about obesity. She said obese middle-aged men have a 60% increased risk of dying from heart attack than non-obese middle-aged men. Now this is, see if you can understand that, even after we cancel out any of the effects of cholesterol, blood pressure, and other cardiovascular risk factors. So what she's saying is this 60% increase is not because it causes those other things. It's just by itself, okay? So she says this means that obesity itself may be causing fatal heart attacks through a factor that we have not yet identified, okay? So the fat cell might be secreting some kind of chemical that directly might cause a heart attack. That's what her research suggests, okay? So let's go back over here a little bit. How much does it, how many extra calories does it take to gain 1 pound of fat? Here's a little trivia question. Wow, Paul, you know that's good. That's what I read, 3,500. Okay, so what does that equal? Well, I mean, if you looked on labels or counted calories or stuff, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff we eat. It might be 100, 200. There's stuff that is 300 plus calories, just one serving of it. Some beans are like kidney beans, and they're high. Just one cup of those will get you 300 calories. So it's not just like what you would normally talk about as desserts. Okay, it's not just that type of thing. Although, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that desserts are going to be high in calories. For example, the Starbucks blueberry muffin. I don't recall seeing them. I think I do recall seeing them, but I don't remember how big they are. Though one of those is 350 calories. Okay, and if you get like one of the frappies, and it's not the smallest one, it's like the 16 ounces, and nobody gets the smallest one, right? What's the point of getting the smallest one? You went to the store and you took time out, and you're going to get the venti, grandi. I never can remember those because I don't go there very often, so I never go there. So easily one of those is going to be 350 calories, the large one, 350 calories. So all it would take to gain a pound of fat is to just swill down 10 of those, right? We're using one of our adjectives. Say, oh, that's a lot. I probably only have one a week. Okay, well, that's 2.5 months. You added 1 pound. Okay, if that's how you added it, you know? Yeah, and gradually it happens, right? You know, if you if you stay over here a lot, you know, that's just 350. Some people might be more. Some people might be less. Maybe you're only half of that, 175 extra a day. Well, your body can balance it off. I mean, if you do it once, you know, you go to the church picnic and you eat an extra one of those ones with the coconut bars. And who made those, by the way? Who made those? I was wondering who made those. You know, so I had an extra one. But I don't have one every day because I don't know how to make them, so. There's no way for me to have one of those every day. I won't say who makes one similar, because then you know how to get one every day. So I'm not going to tell you that. So you shouldn't be so down on. Why are you so down on Starbucks? You feeling guilty? I'll tell you why I'm down on Starbucks. The last time I went there for a double espresso shot, okay? They gave it to me in a regular coffee cup, okay? Do you understand what that would look like? You shoot the dark brown liquid into the large coffee cup, and so when I'm drinking, I'm seeing these dark brown sprayed blotches all over the side of this white receptacle. It's not what I want to see when I enjoy so I don't know what the Starbucks problem is in America, but in Hong Kong, the one that I go to by the pier every time we go back and forth, is they give it to you in a little cup like that. That's what they're supposed to do. So yeah, but that's just a kind of a rabbit trail. We don't need to spend too much time on that. So if you stay over here for a long time, that's going to be the result, okay? And there's a lot of consequences to that. So what does the X mean? Come on, I think you can guess. Someone, guess it. Nope. Oh, yes, you said it. Right, exactly. Exercise. It means exercise, okay? You know, so if you say, well, okay, I realize I've been doing this for too long and it's caused a problem, so I need to get back in calorie balance and what I actually need to do to lose weight, because this is what I meant when I said, just because if you're overweight doesn't mean you're a glutton, okay? Maybe you were just a glutton 10 years ago, okay? And you've realized, and so you've kind of got control of that, but you're still here, And the reason is because you didn't spend enough time, you didn't go over here. If you spend how many days, 350 extra a day over here, if you want to get rid of that, you have to spend the same amount of time over there. And not so many people want to do that. This is really easy to do, right? It's just, I want more, so I'm going to have more. I'm just going to have another one. Okay, and it doesn't hurt, right? Unless, like, you stuff yourself, then it hurts, okay? But this hurts, okay? It's uncomfortable. Especially if you have a habit of eating a lot of, like, carbohydrates, because they go in your blood and they go out of your blood really fast, in your blood and out of your blood, and you say, no, I'm going to stop having that muffin from Starbucks on the way to work every other day, okay? So now your blood sugar didn't go up and it goes down and your body's going, what? Come on, hit me. You're not going to hit me? I'm going to make you pay. Okay? So it's troublesome. There's another way to use the word glutton, and this is really interesting. He's a glutton for punishment. Ever heard that phrase? Willing to take some punishment. In fact, he doesn't mind. So if you've been over here as a glutton from that meaning, so how about if you become a glutton for punishment for a little while, or however long it takes, okay? The reason I emphasize this is because if you say, okay, I'm just going to eat less, and so I'm going to go over here, if you do that for past a couple weeks, your body's going to say, oh, you're not going to give me so much food, huh? All right. In fact, you're not even going to give me enough to be balanced, so we're just going to slow everything down then, because you're not giving me enough. So we're just going to slow the whole thing down. And your body will move this line over to here. Okay? You turn your metabolism down. Not only that, your body, if you don't give it enough calories, you go into calorie deficit, your body's going to say, well, I got to burn something, right? It's got to burn something. If it's not from the food you eat, what's it going to burn? You say, well, it's going to burn my fat. Yeah, it'll burn some of your fat, but you know what else it'll burn? Yeah, it'll burn some of your muscle. You say, why would it do that? Because your body is saying, well, you're not keeping up with what I need, so I can't fuel all this muscle, so I'm just going to burn some of it off. That's what your body's going to do. Which, you know, the result is you don't have as much muscle, so the furnace has your muscles, your furnace, your calorie furnace, or one of them anyways, and so the furnace is turned down, so your body needs less fuel. So this line goes over here. So the only way to stop that from happening is tell your body, no, I need these muscles, and I'm going to use them. So you need to just, as far as making them smaller, no, we're not going to do that. And I'm going to show you why. And that's what you have to do. And then the other thing is, you can't stay over here for weeks on end. Okay, you just can't. You're going to have to, don't let your body think that that's going to be the next, that's the permanent state from now on. It will rebel against it, and it will make adjustments. So you do it for a couple weeks, and then you go back up to a balance or something like that. Some people, I probably shouldn't tell you this. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of diets. You know, there's the Atkins diet that was really popular years ago, and then there's the Zone diet, and then there's the Mediterranean diet and the Paleo diet, and there's a couple other ones, you know, that help you control portions, how much you eat, which is really good, because it's a lot easier probably than counting how many calories, right? So if you can learn how to control your portions, you can say, well, I'm gonna reduce that one or something like that. So, no, I'm going, where am I going here? Okay, so there's a lot of ways to do it, okay? And there's one, I said I wasn't going to tell you, but they even tell you that you can, you go into calorie deficit for a couple weeks, and then what you do, it's called a pig out meal. Well, they don't call it that, they call it there's another term. And the idea is you tell your body, don't worry, we can eat as much as we want anytime. See, here we go. And then you eat a whole bunch one day, and your body says, oh, okay, no problem. We don't have to move this line. Okay, good. And then the next day you go back to your calorie deficit and you trick your body. But some people don't advise that because they say, well, if you do that, then you're just going to blow your resolve, and that might be true, okay? So I forgot I told you about that little trick, okay? Because it won't work. if you don't do this, okay? It will not work if you don't do that, okay? So this is the only way. All the diets, they're pretty much a different, you know, details, but they're pretty much in agreement. If you don't go into a calorie deficit, it won't work, okay? There's different ways to do it, but if you don't do that, it won't work, okay? There actually, fat storage, fat loss, and so on, it's actually a complicated science, but they're pretty much all agreed on that, okay? Okay, here's two more. Here's one more thing I'm going to draw. Okay. 20, 40, 60, these two lines come farther, 80. This is your, these are ages. This top line is the activity level that you're capable of, okay, that your body can put out. This bottom line is your normal activity level. Just you go about your daily activities, okay? Whatever, work. Okay, when you're young, maybe you almost never exercise, but because you're young, you still have a big gap here. Maybe you're already doing a sit-down job or something like that, but if you want, you can bump it up to here. You can, without a whole lot of trouble, you can raise your, you can go out and run, play ball, whatever, okay? Now, as you get older, if you don't exercise, these lines start to come together. This is my daily activity level, but I never exercise, and if I say I'm going to go out and try on the weekend or something like that, I can do a little bit more, but not as much as like when I was 20. Okay, that's when people start hurting themselves. They want to go out and run and play when they're 40, but they never exercise. They think they can do it just like they're 20, and it'll work, but it doesn't work as good. Okay? And then when you get to be older, like 60, there's not a whole lot of difference between your normal activity level and what you might be able to kick it up to if you never exercise. So what does exercise do? Okay? It keeps this up there. It keeps this other line up higher. Okay? It keeps it up there. When people get up here at 80, that's what you see, and they pretty much... For an 80-year-old, what do they consider exercise? Walking, right? Yeah, if they can do the stairs, maybe they're doing better than the average. But to them, walking is exercise because they have ignored it their whole lives, and now these two lines are pretty much the same. Okay. Oh, and by the way, this shouldn't go off too long. This line shouldn't go too long because if you're obese, it can cut off as much as 8 years of your life. So you chop some of that off. Chop as many as 8 years. Okay. So what am I trying to say? The sooner you get at it, the better. Because the older you get, the harder it is to do. You start to have knee problems, joint problems, heart problems, all kinds of that kind of stuff. Here's your spine. Okay, your head's up here. Okay, now down here, you got your hips. Okay? If you really, this is the natural curve of your lower back and the natural tilt of your hips. If this becomes really big, okay, this curve is going to increase, which means your hips are going to tilt more, okay? What does that mean? Well, the hip bone is connected to the leg bone, and the femur bone is connected to the other two bones. I forgot what they're named. There's your knee. The problem is, you have muscles from your hip going down to here, all the way down into below your knee, okay? So that throws off your knee, okay? This tilt of your hip, it's anterior tilt of your hip, it's going to throw off your knee because it'll throw off your foot because there's two bones in your bottom leg, right? And so you stay that way for a long time, then your knees don't work so good and you don't feel like exercising. You stay that way for a long time, you got a problem in your shoulder. You don't want to do anything like that. And at some point in time, you know, it's just really going to be hard. For some people, it's going to be hard, like somebody that has an injury, you know. So, like Brother Gip, you know, I don't know what kind of exercises he's doing. I remember reading he used to do a routine that he did sitting in a chair. I read it in one of his books. I don't know if he's still doing that now. But, you know, if you have a problem with your spine, there's a lot of stuff that you cannot do as far as, like, trying to to boost your activity level. So, if you are healthy and everything's still working pretty good, then take advantage of it and get it done. So, why am I going through all this health stuff? Well, because it's a consequence, right? I remember talking to Brother Matty one time. He says his young people didn't know what to do, and his old people that knew what to do didn't have any energy to do it. You know, I think that might be a problem in a lot of different places. By the time you get some wisdom and know what's going on, you don't have any energy to get out there. And that's a shame because there's a lot to do. All right, one more verse. 2 Peter, then we've got to finish up. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And again, Brother Dave was here. And to knowledge, he's talking about adding, right? And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. So I'm giving you a bunch of knowledge here about the results, okay? Why am I doing that? Because what I have found, when I'm going to go follow after some lust, I'm always making an excuse, and I'm always trying to ignore stuff that I know about the results. If I can ignore it, or even better, if I don't even know it, then it's really easy to commit whatever sin. But if I know a whole bunch about what I'm doing, what the results are going to be, then the Lord is going to say, you know, that's going to happen, you know, that's going to happen. You keep it up, and that's going to happen. And it's a lot harder to disobey the Lord. It's a lot harder to be rebellious, okay? And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. So it's easy to be here, but it's not so easy to be here. And how long does it take to burn off 3,500 calories, which equals 1 pound of fat? I'm not sure. You can go work on that. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what, it takes patience, right? There's no way to do it fast. Okay, there's no way to do it fast. You didn't actually get over here fast. And so if you want to be here, it's going to take patience, right? You know, your knowledge that you know will remind you that you need that patience to stick with it. And to temperance, patience. when you want to go fix something, it takes patience. When you've messed up and you need to repair something, it takes patience. When you've had a bad habit, whatever that might have been, and you want to overcome that, you're going to have to work at it for a while. It takes patience, right? It just... because it's ingrained, and it won't give up easy. Your flesh is like, it's supposed to be dead, right? But if you indulge it, you know, habitually, it's like it's re-upped, right? Re-energized, and you want to tell it, no, we're not going to do that anymore. You're just going to have to beat it for a while, you know. You're just going to have, that's the only way. And it takes... that's what it takes. It takes patience. Okay, so that's the topic for this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord.